is election season in the city of Racine. The first Tuesday in April, you'll be electing offices for the alder people, and that's all the even numbers.
Yes.
Even numbers. And 2 years, you get the odd numbers. Right?
Right.
Okay, so that's how it's working. Now, there's a lot of elections coming up, and I get so confused because some are in April, some are in the primaries in August, some are in November. Yours is coming up first Tuesday in April. David Mack is here. He's your alder for the 4th District in Racine, and he's running for re-election again. How many? Now, I read in your bio here, you were in the 5th District at one time.
I served as an alderman for 10 years between 2001 and 2011 in the 5th District. I did not move the district move because of redistricting.
Oh, that's how they're changing.
And so I've had the privilege of serving both the 5th and the 4th District. My little asterisk in city history is that when our former mayor was arrested, I was city council president at the time and had to lead the city through that crisis.
I remember that, yeah.
I was getting calls from all over the country from people that saw what happened, people that I went to school with. The news went, nationwide. I mean, it was a big deal.
I remember that morning. Yeah. I remember the morning. Tom Carco was talking to me.
Tom Carco broke the story by calling me.
Well, he came in to me and he said, the mayor has been arrested in Kenosha. I said, what mayor? He said, our mayor. I said, you said Kenosha. He said, he's arrested in Kenosha. I said, who?
Yeah, it was actually, I think, Brookfield that he got arrested, but they put him in Kenosha.
And he was, shaking. And I said, this is going on at, 5:30 in the morning here. And I said, run this by me one more time. And then he told me what he knew. We didn't know that much at the time. And then he mentioned you.
He called me up. I was very factual about it. Basically, what I knew, what I had repeated to all the aldermen. It's 12:30 in the morning. I get the call from Kurt Wallen, the police chief at the time. And I immediately thought, if I don't tell my colleagues, we're going to have a problem. So I called each and every alderman and woke them up and said, the mayor's been arrested this evening. He's in the Kenosha County Jail.
That's what I couldn't understand. What do you mean he's in Kenosha? The Kenosha mayor's been arrested? No, our mayor. Then he's in Racine. No, he's in. And I could, because he was it was still confusing at that point.
See, Bill McReynolds was county executive at the time, and he was notified much earlier than I was. And he basically said, do not put him in our jail, put him in Kenosha. And a couple of reasons. One, it was a safety issue, not wanting to put him in the jail here in Racine. Down in Kenosha, they're not going to know who he is. So,
see, I think your greatest job was running the emergency management because that's life saving.
Yeah, it was. It was a rewarding career.
Yeah, alder is good. They do things good. Emergency management, you're saving lives, and I think that's more important. I just do. I think that's a very important job. And you ran it for how long?
I want to say close to 32, 33 years.
Whoa!
I started in 1990 and. I 5 years ago, I walked out the door at the end of October. So trying to do the math here because this will be October of this year will be the 5th anniversary of retiring.
I had your guy who followed you, Lorenzo Santos, was in here.
Yeah, that's what you said.
Yeah, good guy.
Yeah. So I used to be in WRJN all the time talking about emergency management stuff, even sometimes with you.
That's an important job. That's life-saving. Mm-hmm. I mean, you hear these horror stories about people with tornadoes. There were no warnings, floods, no warnings, but we always had warnings here. And every Saturday at 4 o'clock.
Yep.
We hear
outdoor warning siren.
Yeah, that's good.
The first Saturday of every
month.
First Saturday.
All right, now, before we get to all the things you want to do as alder, where's the 4th district? It's my district, but where are the boundaries? Because a lot of people don't know what district they're in.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to explain. I take up the zoo, go over a little bit, I think, to Superior. We jog down. It's not a nice, squarely cut district. I'm into Marquette Street, way into there. We go to Hamilton. We have the Lakefront Zoo or North End Zoo Beach. So we have quite an interesting.
So
district.
you got the beach, the zoo. The beach and North Beach.
I do.
That's a big one.
I like to. Former Alderman Jim Kaplan called it the Festive Fourth, and the parade goes through a good chunk of the Fourth
that's right.
District.
Yeah. And you're on the Fourth Festival, right?
Yeah, and actually, where the parade used to start in the Fifth District, and then now it the Fourth District basically goes up to the staging area, so the Fifth District doesn't have any of the parade except for maybe some staging.
Really? Well, yeah. No, the 4th District has a lot of it.
The 5th District.
Oh, the 5th District, okay.
Yeah. Where the 5th District used to go, when I first got elected back in 2001, the 5th District went all the way down to High Street.
But why do they change these?
And then it moved and creeped up, and then I think it was like English Street. And then it's now up farther north. So
I understand why congressional districts are changed, because they want to rig the voting. I get it. That's why they do it. They want to rig the voting, so they change it around. That's no secret. That's why they do it. I don't know. What do you do?
Well,
Aldermanic districts.
There are 15 districts in the city.
Yeah.
And so when the maps are redrawn at the state level, it all kind of boils down, and you have to fit into these boxes, okay? And when you have a city that's not, we had a nice square city, that would be, what's a nice square state? Like
Wyoming?
Yeah,
Colorado.
Utah maybe has that little thing down, but you can divide it into nice little squares, like nicely cut cake.
If you ever look at the maps of the Dakotas, Wyoming, so forth, and you look at the counties, they're all like,
yeah,
like perfectly cut.
But when it comes to these districts, each district has to have a certain amount of people in it. So if you lose population or gain population in an area, that may shrink or expand the footprint of the district. So that's why these boundaries change. Each alderman has to represent the same number of people, and you got to fit that number of people in the district. So that's where some people may call it gerrymandering. But gerrymandering is when you carve out an area to keep somebody in it, not...
That's what I'm talking about, these congressional districts. Yeah. Both sides do it. And they do it because they want to rig the election in their favor. It's not a secret. That's why they do it. David Mack is here. He is our current 4th District Alder, running for re-election April 7th.
April 7th, Tuesday.
Tuesday, April 7th. You know, I went down to my local polling place the last time they had the primary, about a month ago, and there were no voting signs outside. And I said, well, I've got to knock on the door, see if we're supposed to vote today. So then I called the city of Racine as voting, but only if it's contested.
Right.
So there was no...
We had nothing in our district, I believe.
But you do now, though.
We do now. But I'm talking about for the primary. There
were
only
primary.
A couple districts had a primary.
Yeah, okay. Okay, now I get it.
You know, last year, high voter turnout, but we had a Supreme Court race that was heating up, and that race this time is kind of blah, and I don't know what the turnout's going to be like next week, but...
I vote every time.
Yeah, I do too. I used to try to be the first one in line.
I know, you was bragging about your number.
But when I retired and I slept in, I didn't have to get up and get to work. And so...
Yeah, you're always showing your number ticking on Facebook. Let's talk about some topics here. Let's talk about the Lakeview Park Playground. I used to see signs all over, excuse me, people's lawns. Let Lakeview Park be Lakeview Park.
Well, what happened was, and this is before I was an alderman, the mayor had put it out for a developer to give a proposal for putting housing or something on Lakeview Park, and there was an uproar within the neighborhoods around Lakeview, and that's where those Save Lakeview Park signs came. That ended up getting put aside, and the mayor, at my request, put money in the budget this year to enhance the playground, and then we're going to try to go out and raise some money to do maybe a phase 2 and 3 so that it can be even bigger. I'd love to see a dream playground there like they have in Kenosha. And so we're going to have a nice playground, hopefully installed by July 4th. And then if fundraising goes well, we'll be able to expand it and make it even a little bigger.
You just want to go on the swings. Okay.
Who doesn't? I mean.
I don't like any of it. You know, I used to think that the playground at school had monkey bars.
Yeah.
We used to hang upside down. And yep. It was like, if you fell, you broke your neck. Nobody seemed to care. The teacher was sitting there smoking a cigarette on the side. And nobody's paying attention to the kids on the monkey bars.
I have a column called Growing Up Gen X. And that is my next column is, I can't believe I'm still alive because
I know.
Some of these I didn't wear a seatbelt and that other stuff.
And those things you used to jump on to spin around and you had to jump on it. It was like a centrifuge and it threw people off. What were they thinking? All right, the King Center. Let's talk about that.
Well, I just, the King Center is coming along real nice, huge development. The Pillar Healthcare Center is functioning. They're going to move into the King Center afterwards, but huge development and great for the neighborhood. Also, housing is being upgraded around that area. So we're one of the steps to stabilize some neighborhoods that were starting to have issues. So
Douglas Park.
Douglas Park. That's an interesting one. The mayor sent out a press release saying that we need to change the name, the community center, which was the Cesar Chavez. But because of the news, my only comment is that I think we need to have a community conversation about that. The mayor suggested one name. I'm not sold that we need to have, that we should name it after somebody or that it should be a national figure. I think we need to have a community conversation. Let the residents have some input into it.
The Shoup Golf Course.
That's very controversial right now and an interesting topic. I've been putting up on my David Mack for Racine Facebook page. I'm trying to make it as factual as possible and based off of information I have, but dissecting it and looking at the various issues that are out there. But the city doesn't have any money to upgrade the golf course. And there are a number of issues that have to be addressed. One is shoreline protection and bluff stabilization. Another is the sprinkler system needs to be replaced. The clubhouse and the maintenance shed need to be replaced. And the city doesn't have any money to do that. We're running a $10 million structural deficit right now. And you have a private sector group that is willing to invest up to $10 million to upgrade this golf course and then run it for the city, and the city would get a small stipend.
Where is it?
It is over by the Wind Point Lighthouse.
Oh, yeah, that's what I thought.
Dr. Shoup donated this land for public use back in, I believe, 1917. And one side, if the family, the Shoup family, wanted to have an old man's home, they could erect an old man's home. So the deed says that the property has to be for public park usage or an old man's home.
That's where I'm going, the old man's home.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I'd love to sit on the porch looking at the sunrise every morning and the lighthouse right there. But
either that or the poor farm. I haven't decided which one I'm going to go to. Let's talk about Michigan Boulevard, the speed bumps.
Yeah, we have speed humps.
Speed humps, excuse me.
Yeah, Michigan Boulevard, a lot of complaints from the residents that live on Michigan Boulevard about speeding. It's a long stretch. It's along the lake. I've seen firsthand a couple accidents that were pretty bad as a result of overspeeding. And so that's going to be resurfaced in the fall. And as part of the resurfacing project, they're going to be putting some speed humps in there, which should slow down traffic on Michigan Boulevard. I don't know why anyone would want to speed on Michigan Boulevard because it's such a beautiful view, but they do.
Try Main Street speeding.
Oh, tell me about it. I was driving here. I was doing 30 miles an hour past Don Rosen's house, and this car goes flying by me. Had to be doing at least 45 or 50.
Did you wave to my wife when she passed by?
She wasn't driving a Kia, so I mean, it wasn't a Kia. And I'm like, where's a cop when you need him?
I see it all the time when I'm going to work in the morning.
Yeah.
They speed by me. The other morning, I got up at 2:30 in the morning.
Well, you only go 15 miles an hour. I've seen you drive, Don.
I go the speed limit because I'm not late for work. So I go to, I go to the guy at the window at 2:30. Just take a look. I see this car go real fast. So I go back to bed. I hear five police cars chase him. Yeah, I know. They finally, you know, getting this guy. Okay, let's talk about the new businesses along Douglas Avenue.
Well, it's kind of nice to see.
Building something there because there's a big hole in the ground.
Yeah, that was supposed to be a Dunkin' Donut. But on my side of Douglas Avenue, Jim's Garage is relocating to the old O&H Bakery. And that's going to be a nice development there. Going to run their operations out of the back, and then they are going to have a retail shop in the front. We have a new Mexican grocery store, large actually, that opened up in the old billiard.
Billiard's place there.
So it's nice to see some new businesses there. That area, you know, that part of Douglas Avenue is struggling a little bit, but we have a Douglas Avenue Business Improvement District where the business owners contribute money towards that. We recently had a big floor fight, over an hour long debate about whether or not we were going to accept a donation from the Douglas Avenue bid for traffic enforcement on Douglas Avenue, something that the business owners wanted. And we ended up approving that. And so
I pictured you on Douglas Avenue when the billiard place was there. You got trouble, my friends. Trouble's right here in Racine. I'm sure. Yeah, and then you say, it's trouble. It's a capital T. It rhymes with P. It stands for pool.
I never went to the billiard place, but I've been to the new Mexican grocery store. They They have an area in the back where you can get tacos. They have steak tacos.
Yeah.
Great meats section. So check it out.
Go ahead. Give a quick pitch now. I'll give you a free commercial right here.
Well, I'm a known commodity. People know me, and I've been active in our community for over 35 years. I am an independent thinker. I try to get along and bridge the gap between both sides, and I think things through. I try to do what's best for the city of Racine, not what's in my best interest necessarily. And, you know, like I said, independent thinker, meaning I'm not aligned with either political party. City issues are not Republican or Democrat issues. They're city issues. And so I try to look at it through that filter. What is best for the city of Racine? I have a fiduciary responsibility to the taxpayers. So that's foremost in my mind. And then, I try to be balanced.
David Mack on the ballot for the 4th District Alder position. You'll see it on the ballot April 7th. Mm-hmm. He's asking for your vote. Of course, Justin. You won't see his name if you live in another district, just in the 4th Aldermanic District. So he'll be on the ballot April 7th. Good luck to you, my friend.
Thank you.